yo, you gotta go to college. You might as well, bro. Bro. What do you mean nobody will accept you? They have 4,000 in colleges and universities in this country. Somebody will give you a chance. Everybody's school didn't necessarily prepare them for college, but there's resources that's out there to help you.
This is Mouthful, and I'm Yvonne Laddie. Every week, I will be having a complicated conversation with a young person about the things that matter to them, things they have written about and shared on stages across the city. And then we will go out into the community and talk to teens, adults, experts, anyone who can broaden the conversation. Every 4 years, the Schott Foundation for Public Education does a study to see just what is going on with young Black males in education. And the graduation rate just continues to widen between young white men and young Black men. The national graduation rate for young Black men was only 59% compared to 80% for white young men. In Philadelphia, only 24% make it out of high school. As a college professor at NYU, I see the effects of this every day. Black male students walking through the journalism department is not a common sight. And overall, big universities struggle with diversity numbers, especially in recruiting Black males, partially because the pool is so small. And that is just wrong and sad and needs to change. Rahsaan Brooks feels the same way.
College is very important, especially for Black men, because quite honestly, many people in this country don't want us to go to college. They don't want us to graduate high school at that. And like, they're ready for us to like be low as far as like social standards. And the cycle of poverty is still hitting us today, so.
Rahsaan is an 18-year-old high school senior at Julia R. Masterman High School. This fall, he's headed to the University of Pittsburgh. He wrote this week's monologue, Not Ready, in response to young Black men in his only neighborhood feeling like they have no options. Let's listen to Not Ready, performed by Carlo Campbell.
Yo, Poppy, what's up? Let me get cheesesteak. Yeah, a platter, you know I need the fries. Salt, pepper, ketchup, fried onions, mayo, hot peppers, and lettuce. Yeah, not too much mayo though. You know I like it. How long will it be, Pop? Yo! What's good, bro? You good? We cooked y'all at bad at the course yesterday. Have you recovered yet? Yeah. Alright. If you play like yesterday, y'all will never get a W. Yo. Forget all that though. Tomorrow's the big day though. You ready? I know you're gonna be smiling all crazy when you walk across the stage. You might as well do a little dance before they give you your diploma for the pictures. Yo. The real question though, what you doing next fall, bro? What you mean you don't know? Oh, you still waiting to hear from college or something? I know most of the seniors in my school decided in May. Nah, so what happened to Kutztown and IUP? That's wild. I was positive they'd accept you for real. What about CCP? Hey, don't talk down on CCP. College is college. It's cheaper. And at the end of the day, getting a degree is important. Forget what the name of the school says. We Black. So seeking higher education is always an accomplishment. Yo, you gotta go to college. You might as well, bro. Bro. What do you mean nobody will accept you? They have 4,000 in colleges and universities in this country. Somebody will give you a chance. Everybody's school didn't necessarily prepare them for college, but there's resources that's out there to help you. Hold up real quick. How many points D-Rose averaged in his MVP season? 25 points a game. That's popping, right? Can you tell me his free throw percentage was? 86%, bro. That's pretty good. You'd have been 100. You right. I believe. Peep game, though. That's 13 of us in the group chat, not including me. How many of y'all going to college? Just 3 of 13 are going to college. Imagine if you shot 3 for 13 and not pick up games. You would say that you played ass, right? Me too. Of course you would. That's terrible. Do you know what percentage that is? 23%. Wow. I didn't even know that off the top of my head. That just showed me a lot about you, bro. You spit those numbers out like it was nothing. So tell me why you can't become a statistician. You're so intelligent. And I'm not even trying to spice it, yo. That's real rap. We've been cool for like 5 years now. And you've been that way since I met you. You can tell me so many sports facts and percentages about your favorite players. You can survive in college. Only 33% of black men graduate college. So don't think that Brandon, Jeff, and Travis going to college is good enough. We are hurting the national average for no reason. All I'm saying is give it a chance. I'm the young boy of the group, and I'm setting an example for y'all. I'm supposed to be looking up to y'all, but instead I feel like y'all are relying on me to make it. I'd rather make it with y'all together as the gang that we are. Nah, I don't know exactly where I'm gonna go, but I'm only a junior, so I got time. What I do know is this cheesesteak platter about to be dumb good. You already know what I'm rocking. Hey, yo, bro, can I get a dollar for a drink, though? Good looking, y'all. Actually, nah. Take it back. Use that joint for your education.
I wrote this monologue because we had an assignment in drama class, and the only thing that I could think about was a conversation that I had with a friend who lives near to me. And I wanted him to go to college. He was a year older than me. And it was like a bunch of them who were all just older than me. I happened to be the one of the youngest in the group. And I just was really trying really hard for him to go to college, and he never did. I just wanted him to try to experience it, and that never really happened. So then, like, that was the thing that I felt the most passionate about at the moment.
Why did you want him to go to college?
Why not? I mean, I believe he was very intelligent, and he had a lot of potential, and he just wasn't, like, focusing it. So if he would have, I think he would have done very well in college.
So do you see that a lot in your neighborhood, kids not going, young black men not going to college?
Oh, definitely. But I can't, if I had to think right now of black men around my neighborhood who went to college, I can only think of maybe three or four, and two of them were athletes. And there were a few who went for maybe a semester or a year, and they didn't like continue after that.
For his interview at Philadelphia Young Playwrights Office, Rayson bought his three best friends, Gary, Rayshawn, and Maurice. They called themselves the Tribe. They all met as students at the academically rigorous Masterman. Their friendship got them through the ups and downs, isolation of being part of only a handful of black male teens in the school. They pushed each other to get past the odds stacked against them.
These guys, I mean, they're cool, I guess. We hang out sometimes, but it's really like a brotherhood. And even if we all do our little side things, like, we know that this is our main group, and we know that these guys we can come to about anything and everything.
So how did that start, the brotherhood? Tell me about that.
I really don't know. I think it was just like after looking at the number of black students who didn't return to the high school, we just were the four who really clicked the most. Like, there's other black men, maybe three or four more in a grade, but this four right here, we were doing a lot of the same things, a lot of the same interests.
About how many young black men are there at Masterman?
I'd be like 9. No, about 108.
108?
And
108
in our grade.
You in the whole school?
Yeah, like about out of 108 in your grade, how many are African American boys? Huh?
7. It was us. Eight. Four, Jesse McCann, Denver.
Seven.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I was think I was.
Wait, Jesse McCann. That is it.
That's seven. It.
Seven out of 108.
Is that pretty representative of the other grades as well?
Yeah, some less. Yeah, a lot less on some grades.
Well, Massaman, I love it at Massaman.
That's Gary Williams of Northeast Philly. He is going to the University of Pittsburgh, too. He's interested in mechanical engineering.
But it's great to have, you know, guys like this at this top-tier school, guys you can confide in and talk to just for help in schoolwork, outside of school, because a lot of things that you can imagine with the academics being, you know, so rigorous at times, like sometimes you need some people like to talk to and people to just bounce things off of. I think it's important for young black men to have other people, like not even like role models, because I wouldn't say like they're my role models, but like they're just my friends that's going through the same things as me, going through the same struggles and in the same type of environment as me. So I think that is important, because nobody wants to do it by themselves. But you also don't want to put yourself around people that aren't on the same path as you and want to do something else, because they could drag you with them, and that's not where you want to go. If you're trying to go to college, you don't want to hang around a bunch of people that's just trying to stand on the corner all day, because that's not you. So if you put you around a bunch of like-minded fellas, then you'll go a lot far. You'll go very far. So.
Well, my name is Rayshawn Johnson. I have a little whistle when I'm breathing, because my chest is a little whatever. But I'm just saying that because if it comes across, it's not purposeful. But yeah, I met all these guys in middle school. It's the same story with all three of us. You know, we stuck together. We met each other. Sort of circumstances forced us to be together, but by our own volition, we chose to stick it out and really develop like a family and a brotherhood.
You're going to Yale.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are you going to major in?
Political science and finance. I can attribute a lot of my success to having this family of guys. You know, constantly pushing you to do better, constantly pushing you to be the best. And I think that's really important.
The teens are leaders of the African American Culture Committee in Masterman. Rayshawn said their focus is to get more black students in Masterman and support the ones that are there.
That's been our like push, and that's where our stance is, and that's where our fight is, to get more black students to come to Masterman. Earlier this year, we had the eighth graders who were, like, all of them weren't accepted into Masterman, but we just got, like, the black eighth graders and brought them into AACC. And we were just talking to them, and we were like, we really need you guys to stay at Masterman. We really think you should take this opportunity to come to Masterman. And what we were hearing was, one, people, they didn't want to go here. Like, they just don't think Masterman is fun. Okay. But then you were also hearing, like, well, if we come here next year, like, most of the black students are going to be gone. Like, you guys are leaving, so, like, we don't want to come here and be in that environment. We can go to Central, we can go to ENS or Kappa or schools like that and see, like, and have that, like, more relatable feel. And that's, like, where the issue is, and that's what's been happening for years and years and years. People are thinking, like, well, the teachers aren't, they don't really want me here. Like, they're giving me bad vibes. And also, when I come here, even if there are a strong black community, they're probably seniors and they're probably leaving. So, like, we have to start fresh, and we won't see many role models that we can, like, look up to and stuff.
But how do you keep yourself motivated to...
You...
With you, for just the friendship, or what? How do you face that day in and day out?
Yeah. I would say our motivation was besting the system. You know, being cognizant, our parents knew it was a system. We knew it was an institutional system. And we saw, like, how that institutional system played out day to day. Teachers making small remarks or getting looks from administration in the hallway, getting looks from other students. And I don't want to talk bad about our school, because our school really helped us be successful. I wouldn't have learned Spanish if it wasn't for Masterman. I wouldn't have, you know, taken, you know, the classes that I took if it weren't for Masterman. I met amazing people because of Masterman, but people in the city place Massman on a pedestal, not knowing that all of these institutional issues exist. You know, Massman's the best for a reason, right, for reasons, And those reasons aren't always the best of reasons, right? Some people have to be left out in order for it to remain, you know, the top. Some people have to be left out. And I think us knowing that and our parents being cognizant of that and us all realizing that, yo, they might not necessarily want us here. Or like, we're not really, they think that we don't really deserve to be here or we're taking someone else's spot. That motivated us to just to shatter all the expectations and to supersede them.
Maurice Scott of Mount Airy is also headed to the University of Pittsburgh. He said they have to work hard to buck a system that cripples them.
According to the way the system's set up, you're not supposed to succeed as a black man. You know, and sort of, you know, if you want to reach any sort of level of success, you have to always have, you know, you have to be working the hardest, you have to be doing the absolute best. And, you know, sadly, you know, it's that's what cripples a lot of, I think, a lot of young black men, you know, especially in cities, is that, you know, they weren't always granted with, you know, having that mindset instilled in them as, you know, I have to be the best, you know, I have to work to be the best if I want to succeed. And then, you know, they just fall through the cracks of the system. And honestly, I'm pretty sure all the guys here, we all had, you know, that same mentality as, you know, it is a priority that we have to push through and we have to be the best. And, you know, honestly, just all of us, you know, succeeding is kind of motivated all of us to do better because we all want to see each other, you know, get to the next level.
What advice would you have for young black men who kind of aren't in your situation, who didn't go to a good high school, who might be more similar to what, you know, the plays, the monologues about? Do you have any advice for those young black men who are maybe want to go to college but don't even know how to start?
I just think for those individuals, it's definitely a test on, you know, your willpower, your determination if you're in a situation where, you know, you necessarily don't have, you know, as equal as opportunity as more privileged children do, you know, to go on to the next level. Obviously, it's more difficult for people that are in a situation like that. But, I mean, I believe that it's definitely possible if you have the right amount of determination and the work ethic to get it done. You know, because obviously it's been proven with Rasaan. You know, he just kept grinding and doing his thing. And, you know, he left Mashman no choice but to accept him into the high school. So, honestly, I believe that if you just, you know, you really have to have a very strong mindset with it. You know, you can't really, because you're in a situation, you know, where you don't have a ton of resources around you, you can't really rely on sort of other things that other people have the privilege to rely on. It's just staying strong-willed and, you know, in the face of adversity.
My advice would be no one should be harder on yourself than you. No one should push you more to success than you. So I sort of took that on as my mantra or my motto. Like when other people were doing this, I was doing that. You know, I was studying more, you know, learning the material more, doing what I had to do to be better. Not for anybody else, but just for me. Because I knew my goal was to be the, not necessarily be the best, but to be the most successful I could be.
Gary and the other boys credit their parents.
My dad, like, since I was younger, he always had me watching different things about my history, telling me about my history. And I always, sometimes I don't feel like listening to it. I don't, you know, I understand it's important. Sometimes I didn't at least feel like listening to it. But I'm very thankful for him to show me this because that just showed me the history of African Americans, the history that many African Americans before me had to go through has helped me realize really that I really do have to work harder just to be equal. On my dad's side, he was the first person in his family to go to college. So it's not like it's a long line. But like that type of home environment is pushing me just to go forward. Like they want me to be better. They want me to do better than they did. And so they're not just going to let me slouch and just do anything. Like they're pushing me. And so that that pushes me, that gives me a drive, that gives me my goals. And I just know I want to go out and achieve it. And I know that these guys, each and every one of us, like us four, have a mom and a dad who think kind of that's in that same, had that same type of mindset, who would want, they want their kids to do better. They know the history. They know we have to work harder just to be equal. So they're going to push us. They're not going to let us slouch around and do everything that everybody else does, because they're going to push us to another level just because they know that that's good for us. And I can't say that everybody, I mean, it's sad, but like everybody, and especially young black, not even just males, but females too, you know. I mean, and it goes farther, like goes farther than just race too. But I'm just speaking about that right now, that a lot of people don't have that support system at home. And that's what can hold you back, because if you can't get that motivation and that drive on your own, and your parents aren't there to help you, where are you getting it from? You're just going to resort to, you're going to look around you, and if the people you look around, and when you look around, the people aren't trying to get to college and do these right things, then you're just going to fall right into line with everybody else in the system, and it's not good.
Maurice had additional motivation.
There was really just one event in my life that sort of, you know, sparked, you know, my motivation as I was in middle school. My dad doesn't live with me, but you know, he's still very much involved in my life. He just, you know, he lives out of state. And so, you know, from a young, it was been, you know, he and my mother separated pretty much as long as I can remember. So like, we kind of all never really lived together. And so, you know, just on day to day, you know, I sort of was left, you know, looking for just a day-to-day role model, you know, a father figure, or just, you know, just another male holding me look up to. And that was really my older cousin, who was about 5 or 6 years older than me. When I was in the sixth grade, he was shot and killed at the age of 18. Just, you know, he was involved in gangs. And, you know, this is a certain time, you know, I was struggling a bit with my grades. And I just, you know, that was really just a huge spark, as you know, because now that's just firsthand experience of, you know, what the consequences are. Because he was an extremely intelligent person, but, you know, he just didn't really have, you know, the mindset to push forward. And, you know, he was hanging out in the streets all night and just got involved in gangs. And, you know, he was killed. And, you know, I just sort of just use that as a motivation. You know, I have to, you know, I seen firsthand what happens, you know, if you don't have that focus. And so I just use that as motivation for myself.
But the guys have more than college looming ahead. It's prom season, and Rahsaan used the Philadelphia Young Playwrights Monologue Festival to get a date.
You did a prom poster?
Yes, I did it the last night of the Monologue Festival. And I was just thinking of creative ways, because a lot of the guys this year were seniors. We don't really want to do anything, especially not prom pose, because we're about to spend a lot of money for prom, after prom. Like, we didn't really want to do it. And I was just going to do something like just basic, just have a poster and just, oh, will you go to prom with me? But this was a good opportunity. And my date, like, wanted to come to this festival anyway. So I'm like, well, while we're here, I think this would be a good way to ask somebody to prom. Like, this could be something that she would really like, and it's a good platform. I don't really have to do anything. Like, she's going to the Monologue Festival. She's seeing my piece. And then afterwards, like, one of the things that I said during it, like, I don't know if a lot of people caught it, I was saying, like, a monologue is a stage for one person, and they, like, have the spotlight. But one of those places where I don't want to have the spotlight by myself is at prom, and I would like somebody else to share that spotlight with me. And then I chose that young lady to share the spotlight with me.
What if she said no?
It would have been an issue, because we sat through that monologue festival, and I'm just glad she didn't say no. I would have been pretty sad at that.
And that's our show. Big thanks to Rahsaan Brooks for his very honest monologue about a topic we should constantly be talking about. The education of black men is an American issue, not just a black issue. Hope prom was amazing, Rahsaan. And thanks to your tribe, Maurice Scott, Gary Williams, and Rahsaan Johnson of Germantown. You guys make Philly proud. Thanks for hanging out with us. Not Ready was performed by Carlo Campbell. We have just a few days left of a Kickstarter campaign that will make sure we are able to finish our first season of 10 episodes. Visit MouthfulPodcastPhilly.com now, or go to Kickstarter and search for Mouthful Podcasts to find our campaign. Any donation helps. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much for your support. See you next time.
Mouthful is produced by Lisa Nelson Haynes and Mitchell Bloom of Philadelphia Young Playwrights. PYP is an arts education nonprofit that taps the potential of young people and inspires learning through playwriting. And by NYU journalism professor Yvonne Laddie, who also edits Mouthful. Original music for Mouthful was created by Ill Dudes. To join the Ill movement, head over to illdudes.com. That's illdoots.com. For episode extras and more information, visit MouthfulPodcastPhilly.com. That's MouthfulPodcastPhilly.com. And be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter at Mouthful Philly. Subscribe and review us now on iTunes, Google Play, or SoundCloud to be sure you'll never miss a conversation. Mouthful is a production of Philadelphia Young Playwrights.